Well, welcome everyone. It's so good to see you all here today as we come around God's Word. Amen. So is there anyone here today who likes going to trivia nights? Yes, well, I like going to trivia nights as well. But before you come up and rush up and say, Rachel, can you be on my team? I just need to let you know that with some categories, I'm okay. But there's other categories that I'm just not very good at all. But I will give it a good go if you want me to be on your team. So last year, I went to a book trivia night. And as the night progressed, it became very clear that I really didn't know much. And I'm sure the team that I was on were thinking the same thing. And even though I love reading, it didn't save us because we came last. So just this week gone, we had our annual book quiz again. And I said to my team, we are not coming last again. So I began to study. So about a couple of months before last Tuesday, I began doing quizzes online. I wrote lots of notes, which I then went through because I had to lock it in my brain because at this age, being 22, I find that things just go in and go out straight away. So I had to really prepare. And I can tell you that we came first. Now, I would love to say it came down to my preparation, but we also had an extra person on our team who was a librarian. Praise the Lord. He is good. Now, with that in mind, I have a question for you, or maybe a couple of questions. There is a well-known scripture in the Bible that is often quoted. In fact, it has been printed on plaques and people have it displayed in their homes. And I actually know of a couple who had this verse in their wedding vows. And it is, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So I would like to ask, who knows where it is in the Bible? And is it the whole verse? And who said it? Okay, so does anyone know where it is found in the Bible? Because it is in the Bible. No, it's not Kings. Near the middle. Does anyone know who said it? Yes, amen, Joshua. And does anyone know if it was the whole verse or just part of the verse? Okay, well, Pastor Grant, I can give you the medal that we won at our book trivia night. So that's yours, okay, because you knew that it was Joshua. Okay, so it is found in Joshua 24, verse 15. And it says this, because that was only a part of the scripture. "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Other translations say, "If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, or if you refuse to serve the Lord," and then comes the challenge, "choose whom you will serve." So let's get a little bit of context. Who was Joshua and what led him to make this declaration, and who was he saying it to? Joshua was one of the 12 spies that Moses sent into the land of Canaan, the promised land. And when Joshua became the leader of Israel and he led the people into the promised land. Joshua had witnessed God's faithfulness. He'd seen God protect the people. He'd seen God lead the people. He'd seen God just move on their behalf, and they'd seen many victories because of that. He'd seen the walls of Jericho come down. And after the people had experienced many victories, they were now settled in the land. And Joshua gathers all the tribes together. And at this point is where Joshua put a choice before them. He gave them the freedom to decide once and for all who they would serve. They could choose to serve and worship the gods of their past and the idols around them. Or they could choose to worship the one true God, the God that had brought them out of Egypt, through the wilderness and into the promised land. Joshua had made his choice, and from that place he makes this declaration, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua wasn't just encouraging the people, he was calling for them to make a decision. They had seen God do miraculous things before them. They had witnessed his protection. They had seen his guidance. They had experienced his faithfulness over and over again. And now Joshua was saying, in effect, you have seen what God has done. You know who he is. Now you need to decide who you're going to serve. And as we hear this declaration today, it is not said in judgment, but in encouragement. And it's important to understand that every family can look different. And I want to acknowledge that so that everyone feels included today. There may be similarities between our families, but there are also some differences, and that's okay. For some, family may mean your nuclear or immediate family. For others, it may mean your extended family. It could be where you're living in a shared household, or maybe it's just one person in the household. It could be a family that has two children, or it could be a single parent with children. It may be where you are a blended family and there's grandparents who perhaps are looking after grandchildren. Or it could be where you've included someone into your family and they've become a part of your family. And each family will have different needs, different circumstances, and different challenges. Our family circumstances can also change as we move through different seasons of our lives. But the declaration does not have to change. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The choice is there and the decision is to be made. And what is the outcome when we make that choice? Because while every family may look different, the foundation can remain the same. That we choose to love and worship God. That we choose to trust and we choose to serve Him. We choose to be a part of a church community and we choose to build our homes around Him and His ways. The family may look different. The seasons may change and the circumstances may change, but the foundation does not have to change. The declaration remains, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. With that in mind, I do want to look at one family and the decisions that were made in the good times and the hard times. Because it's one thing to make a declaration, but what does it look like to live that out every day? Let's look at the life of Hannah, who we read about in 1 Samuel. When we first read about Hannah in 1 Samuel, we see that her family are going up to Shiloh to worship God. Her family served the Lord, but that commitment would be tested. Hannah was married to Elkanah, but she was unable to have children, and she was heartbroken because of this. And she faced a number of challenges. She had a rival who provoked her because she was unable to have children. And the culture of the day placed such a high importance on having children. And if you couldn't have children, there was a stigma attached to that. And at times they even thought maybe it was the woman at fault because of that. And although her husband loved her, perhaps he really didn't understand the depth of her pain. So Hannah was facing something deep, deeply painful. And she had a choice. How am I going to respond? And what did she do? She prayed. She chose to go to God in prayer. Yes, she was sad. Yes, she was in pain. Yes, her husband could see this about her. She didn't hide her pain, but she made a decision to take that pain to God. And during this time of prayer, Hannah made a vow to God. She made a deep and costly commitment concerning the child she didn't even have, but desperately wanted. And in 1 Samuel 1:11, it says this, and she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used upon his head. I'll give him completely to you. That is some commitment. Hannah was asking God for the very thing she desperately wanted, but she was also saying, if you give him to me, I will give him back to you. Eli the priest saw Hannah praying, and at first he didn't understand what was going on because she was praying without making a sound. And then she explains her situation to him, and Eli responds in 1 Samuel 1:17. Then Eli answered and said, go and peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And from that moment, Hannah left differently. She'd come into the presence of God, upset and sad, and rightfully so. But she left full of hope and a trust in a God who does answer prayers. Come on. Something had changed. And in due time, Hannah conceived and had a son, and they named him Samuel. And now Hannah had another decision to make. Would she honor the vow she had made to God? Because the child she had desperately wanted was now here. Sometimes it's easy to say things when we don't have them. But what do we do when we get them? This is the child she had prayed for. This is the child that she'd cried over. This is the child that she had been waiting for. And yet Hannah had already made a commitment to God. I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. Now she had to live out that commitment. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hannah spoke with Elkanah and explained what she intended to do. In 1 Samuel 1:22 it says, but Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. And you know what? Elkanah agreed to this. You know, this could have been something that caused a rift in their relationship. She'd made this vow to God, but she also had to make sure that Elkanah, her husband, was on board with this commitment and this decision. And thank goodness, because he was a godly man and trusted God, he said, I will agree to this. So what could have potentially been a rift wasn't, because they both trusted and honoured God. So Hannah weaned her son and then took him to Shiloh to dedicate him to the Lord. Hannah didn't just make a declaration when she was desperate. She lived it out when the answer came. And how was Hannah able to do this? Because it would have been hard. One answer can be found in Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 2. She was thanking God for all he had done for her and recognizing who he was in her life. Hannah had a relationship with God and she trusted him. And that trust is what enabled her to follow through on a vow that she had made to God. But what did it actually mean for Hannah to dedicate her child to the Lord? We often say that children are a gift from God. Amen? Yeah. And we have the responsibility of looking after them, knowing that they ultimately belong to God. But with Hannah, we see an example of what that can actually look like. Samuel stayed at Shiloh and served before the Lord under Eli, learning how to serve in the house of God. And he was 3 years old. Hannah and Elkanah would still see Samuel every year when they went up to Shiloh. And every year, Hannah would bring him a new coat because obviously he'd grown. Hannah had complete trust in God that he would be with Samuel and look after him. But there was something else Hannah wanted for her son. She had a relationship with God and she had experienced God for herself. She had experienced his faithfulness. She had experienced his miraculous power in giving her a son. She'd heard from God, but she wanted that for Samuel too. She wanted Samuel to know God for himself, to hear from God for himself, and to have his own relationship with God. Because Samuel couldn't have a relationship with God simply through Hannah's relationship with him. At some point, Samuel needed to know God for himself and make his own decision to follow him. And I just want to encourage every young person and teenager in this room today that you don't have to say, oh, you know what, I am too young. At any stage of your life, you can accept Jesus and follow him, having a relationship with him. And I think there is something really important for us as families in that. Whatever your family may look like today, that we can teach our children and our families about God. We can bring them to church. We can pray for them. And we can model what it looks like to follow Jesus. But ultimately, we want them to know God for themselves. Dedicating Samuel to God didn't mean he was instantly saved or that Hannah's faith automatically became his. But it did set him on a journey. A journey where he could learn about God, learn his ways, serve in the temple and experience for himself the goodness of God. So what did Hannah do? She dedicated him to God. She made sure he was in a place where he could learn about God and his ways. She trusted God with her son. And what happened? At a young age, Samuel heard the voice of God. He didn't just know God because his mother knew God. He became to know God for himself. So what does it look like for us today to dedicate our children or our families to God? Obviously, our situation isn't quite like Hannah's. And some of you might go, that's a relief. But the foundation is still the same. Having complete trust in God, that he is with our children, that he is with our families, and that he has a plan for our life and their lives. Even when it comes to our children's lives, we can trust God. There'll be times we don't know what the future holds. There'll be times we can't control the decisions that they make. There'll be times we want to protect them or step in and make things easier for them. But we can trust God with them. So when we say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's more than just a statement we make. It's a decision to trust God with our lives, with their lives, and with our families' lives. It's a decision to surrender our children and our families and our relationships to him and trust him. He has great plans for our lives. It doesn't mean that we stop being parents or stop guiding them, but it means we recognize that they ultimately belong to God and we have been entrusted with the responsibility of stewarding what he has given us. We teach them about God. We model what it looks like to follow God. We pray for them and with them. We create opportunities for them to know God for themselves. And we trust that at every age and at every stage of their lives, God can work out his plans and his purposes for them. And the good news is we can choose to posture every relationship in our lives towards God, where he is at the center. He is our foundation, and that helps us to love, support, and relate to each other. Because ultimately, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord is a decision we make to acknowledge God, trust him, and faithfully steward what he has entrusted to us. A decision to build our homes around God. a decision to build our relationships around God, a decision to help the next generation know God for themselves. You know, Hannah's story reminds us that serving the Lord as a family doesn't mean everything will be easy. It means that in the good times and in the hard times, we can continue to trust God. We continue to point our families towards Him. And we continue to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I also want to acknowledge that not everyone is in a relationship or married or has children or is building a family. But we can all be like Hannah. Hannah was a woman who in the good and hard times, she turned towards God. She trusted Him and continued to honor Him even when things didn't turn out how she hoped. So today, whether you are single, whether you're married, whether you're raising children or hoping for a family or in a completely different season of your life, the invitation is still the same. Will I choose to serve the Lord? Will I trust Him in the good times and the hard times? Will I put Him at the center of my life and the relationships He has given me? The invitation is still the same. Do I trust God? And as for me and my house, I will trust Him and I will serve and worship Him every day of my life. So let's pray this morning. Lord God, we just thank You that we can turn to You, that we can trust You with our lives, with our families, with our relationships, with our children. Whatever season we in, Lord God, we can trust You. And Lord God, I just declare is that the declaration has gone out, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That Lord God, we will make that decision to trust You in every area of our life, in every season of our life. Lord God, that we won't look to the left or the right, but Lord God, our eyes and our focus will be on You, the one true God. The one true God who shows His faithfulness, who shows His goodness to us every step of the way. We honor You today and we thank You for our relationships and for our families in the name of Jesus. You know, perhaps you don't know Jesus here today. Perhaps you haven't asked Him into your life. But you know, today is a great day to make that decision. But you might be saying, who is this Jesus? You know, God sent Him and He came as a man onto the earth, and then He died and He rose again on the third day for you and I, for the covering of our sins, the forgiveness of our sins, and so that we could be in relationship with God. And it says in Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So today, if you're ready to take that step, to say yes to Jesus, I would love to pray for you. And we're all going to pray this prayer together. And I'd love for you to repeat it after me. And it says this, dear Jesus, please come into my life and forgive me of all my sins. I declare that You are Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised You from the dead. And I choose to follow You. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe it's been a while, I want to encourage you to let someone know, either the person who brought you or one of us who's been on the stage today. If you don't have a Bible, we would love to give you one. There's some at the back, and there's also a booklet that says, I have decided your guide to following Jesus. This is an important tool to help you. But even more importantly, it's the Word of God. To get that into your life and to know God for yourself. Maybe you've grown up in church. Maybe you've had an understanding of who God is. Maybe you've seen your parents go through church. But today is your day to know God for yourself. And not only that, to hear His voice. And I just would love everyone to stand in this place. Because today we're actually going to pray for each family that's here. whether you're by yourself or whether you are with your family, whether you're in a different season of your life, we've all come from a family and we've all a part of a family in some way, even if it's just the church, the family of God. But this morning, what I'm really believing for as the pastors anoint you and pray for you, because that's what we're going to be doing. And you know what? I want you to join with my faith, because we're going to see healings today. We're going to see breakthroughs today. We're going to see lives changed and transformed by the power of God. And you know what? This is not just words that I'm saying right now, but this is the truth of who our God is and who we serve. I have seen His faithfulness over and over again in my life. I have heard His voice. I have called on His name and He has heard me. He has healed me and He has brought breakthrough after breakthrough. That's just not for me. It's not just because I'm Rachel. It's not just because I'm a good person, but it's God wanting to bring change, wanting to bring revelation, and wanting to bring breakthrough into your lives and into your family's lives. There are families here that may be broken. There may be families here at the moment that have got pain, have got situations going on. They're like, God, I do not know which way to go. Which way do I turn? Right now, I don't want to look at the idols that are around me. I want to keep my focus on you, but sometimes it is hard. But today, we are drawing a line in the sand and we are declaring as people, as families, as individuals, as the house of God, that as for me and my house, in the good times, in the bad times, in the hard times, in the challenging times, on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. And I don't want it just to be something that I flippantly say. It's not something that I'm going to just flippantly go, oh, that's what I want to do. But no, it is a faith statement. It is my heart saying, God, my eyes are on you. My eyes are on you.
We pray that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.